Evening, everybody. Just a second, finish getting everything out. Everybody get a handout at this point? I think so. Okay. Okay, we'll be on lesson number 13, which actually concludes this study that we've been looking at over the last quarter, basically, on living beyond your capacity, talking about the spirit-filled life. And this lesson kind of brings all that down to three kind of basic things of what that is. So it's a really good summary lesson, thinking about this whole study we've been looked at, very practical things as well. So let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll get started here. Lord, I do thank you for the opportunity to be able to be here this evening. Thank you for just the day we've had so far, of course, in your house this morning and then this afternoon, and then now this evening in our service here. I ask you just to please meet with us. I ask you to be with us, that we would just be able to be attentive, but stay focused on your word as its principles are brought out here. And then just as we learn about just the spirit-filled life and what that is, and just how, in a way, it's simple, but obviously complex in some ways too. But just please help us better pay attention. Please help me to be able to convey what you want to come across and speak to hearts and lives this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So the text verses, again, are familiar verses here. I'll go ahead and read them. It's actually Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Again, probably very familiar verses to everyone here. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The spirit-filled life is a life of three basic but powerful daily disciplines. And I won't say them because I might give some the points away. And that is the essence of what the spirit-filled life is. And it's really the only path to kind of, not like, you can say experiencing, because now that can kind of maybe have some not connotations to it that we're not really talking about. But in a way, really just experiencing and realizing, maybe is a better term, just the fullness of what we've talked about in these lessons. So in this lesson, we're going to look at how to fully immerse ourselves in a daily, spirit-filled, spirit-led lifestyle. And again, these three simple principles really are the how-to of spirit-filled living. And living a spirit-filled life is about learning how to practice His presence moment by moment, because it's a daily discipline and a daily choice not to neglect Him. So some three goals for the lesson tonight is, number one, that we would look at those three basic disciplines of the spirit-filled life. Number two, that we would fully surrender our lives to the Spirit's control. And number three, that we would purpose to make ongoing daily decisions to obey these three commands that we're going to look at tonight. So jumping right in here. Now, by our human nature, we have an innate desire to control our own lives. And it goes against our nature to have someone or something controlling our lives. Interesting illustration here. It says, a 2010 article from PC World described how computer hackers can control the computerized systems of a car from a remote location. For instance, they can disable the brakes, blast hot air through the vents or music through the radio, shut down the engine, and even lock passengers inside, all with it in operation, which sounds kind of like your worst nightmare off a sci-fi movie or something like that. But well, there's something very unnatural about a computer in our car controlling our driving. There is one, however, who wants complete control of our lives, and that's the Holy Spirit. Allowing the Holy Spirit to control our lives is one of the best decisions that we'll ever make. When D.L. Moody was just starting in the ministry, he heard a preacher make a statement. It says, "The world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully surrendered to him." You may have heard something similar before, too. And Moody is said to have said, "By God's grace, I'm going to be that man." And it's also said that he shook two continents for Christ, for God, and that over 1 million people came to know Christ under his preaching ministry in the late 1800s there. Will you have the heart that D.L. Moody had? Will you give the Holy Spirit absolute prominence in your life? The Holy Spirit deserves full and absolute control. He is God in you. You are his vessel and his ambassador. And it's reasonable Christianity, interesting term, reasonable Christianity that you would surrender complete control of your daily life to his power. Verses on here, we've already read them, but if you want to go ahead and start, Pastor, Romans 12, 1 to 2. I think it's at the top.
"I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God."
The Holy Spirit will bring transformation and power into your life that you could otherwise never know. He'll lead you into a life that's abundant and full, a life beyond your capacity or power. John 10:10.
"The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundant."
This abundant life, it's really known by so few Christians, really, is the product of the Holy Spirit. So in this lesson, we're going to discover how to have this abundant life that Jesus promised. We'll discover how to fully immerse ourselves in a daily, Spirit-filled, Spirit-led lifestyle. And after studying it, may we all be eager to experience what God desires to do in us by his Spirit, to realize that. And these simple principles are the how-to of Spirit-filled living. Living a Spirit-filled life is about learning how to, interesting term here, practice his presence moment by moment. It's a daily discipline and a daily choice not to neglect him. The quote from Charles Spurgeon here says, "The greatest crime of sinners is to blaspheme the Holy Ghost." We kind of looked at that last week. "And the greatest fault of saints is to neglect the Holy Ghost." So after we finish this lesson here, you'll be faced with a decision regarding the Holy Spirit. Will you neglect him, or will you be filled with him? Now, have these lessons merely provided you with a good head knowledge of some very profound possibilities, or will the daily practices of your life change because of what we've heard and looked at? Knowing about the Holy Spirit is quite different from experiencing him at work in your life. You could live beyond your capacity, but it's up to you to avail yourself of that. It's up to you to surrender yourself to him and choose to fellowship with him. Many are ignorant of him. Most neglect him. So what will you do? So the Bible gives us three commands regarding our response to the Holy Spirit. First one is B, starts with an F, be filled. This Bible command is found in Ephesians 5:18. which is the next verse.
And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
Being filled with the Spirit is an act of emptying myself of known sin, of yielding myself completely to the Holy Spirit. It's an act of the will. It's an act of surrender. It's not sensational. No, it doesn't provide a feeling or an exhilarating experience. It's a decision of faith to yield complete control of myself to the Spirit. We sometimes see this in Scripture as dying to self. Galatians 2:20.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
And Romans 6:12-13.
Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lusts thereof.
Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God.
Romans 6:16.
Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness?
These passages teach us that we must constantly choose who to yield to. We live every day either in the service of our flesh or the control of the Spirit. Most Christians do not willfully choose to walk in the flesh, but they arrive there by default because they fail to deliberately yield to the Spirit. Speaking to a large audience, D.L. Moody once held up a glass and asked, "How can I get the air out of this glass?" One man shouted, "Suck it out with a pump." And Moody replied, "That would create a vacuum and would shatter the glass." Now, after numerous other suggestions, Moody smiled, picked up a pitcher of water, and filled the glass. There, all the air is now removed. Now, just as that glass is emptied of air by being filled with water, so as we empty ourselves of sin in our lives and yield to the Spirit, he will fill us. The victorious Christian life is attained when the Holy Spirit has the whole picture in which to dwell and not just a part of it. Many Christians think of being filled with the Spirit as like a mystical or complicated process, but in reality, it's simply a daily decision. Subpoint A, it's a matter of, starts with a C, matter of choice. A matter of choice. Being filled with the Spirit is a daily decision. Begin every day by consciously and verbally yielding to the Holy Spirit of God. Ask him to fill you and control you throughout the day. Acknowledge his presence and his lordship in your life. Acknowledge that you need him. Consider beginning every day by praying something like this. Holy Spirit of God, thank you for being my comforter and guide today. As best as I know how, I yield myself to you right now. I ask you to fill me, to control me, to lead me, to guide me. I need you today, and I choose to be the servant of righteousness. And I choose to follow your call. I choose to live in the Spirit, to be spiritually minded, and I ask you to have complete control of my life as I serve you today. It's quite a mouthful there. Choosing to daily acknowledge and surrender to the Holy Spirit helps us grow in developing, which is another thing that's talked about in Scripture, the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5.
Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus.
With every passing day that you consciously yield to the filling of the Holy Spirit, you are growing and maturing in Christ. You are being transformed into his image. Talk about Romans 8:29, predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Day by day, you may not feel like you're growing, but year by year, you'll be able to look back and see the transformation. Remember how you used to measure growth as a kid, by marking your height on a door or a wall? Day to day, those markings wouldn't change very much. but year after year, the growth would become evident. Have patience as you yield to the Holy Spirit. His work is intended to take a lifetime. The Christian life's a marathon, not a sprint. Subpoint B, it's a decision of, starts with F, faith, yes, a decision of faith. The filling of the Spirit is not a feeling decision, it's a faith decision. You ask for it, you yield, and then you accept it by faith that it's done. When you yield to the Spirit and ask Him to fill you, accept by faith that He's answered your prayer, regardless of how you feel about it. Luke 11:13.
If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?
Guaranteed. A day living with the filling of the Holy Spirit is dramatically different from one lived without it. You may not feel all that different throughout your day, but you'll know by the day's end that the Holy Spirit guided your steps, filtered your thinking, directed your words, and ordered your life. Subpoint C, it's a repeated, starts with a P, a practice. Process, yes. A repeated process. Being filled with the Spirit is not a one-time event, but a moment-by-moment lifestyle. As we've already studied, the Holy Spirit of God can be quenched and grieved. I think we looked at that last week. 1 Thessalonians 5:19.
Quench not the Spirit.
And Ephesians 4:30.
And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption.
Being Spirit-filled requires moment-by-moment sensitivity. The moment that I step out of His control, I should confess it and ask Him to fill me again. This is a repeated process of repentance, restoration, and forgiveness. When you sin against God and break your close fellowship with Him, He invites you to make things right. He invites you to come back into fellowship, to restore your heart to Him. Psalm 51, verse 10.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Living a Spirit-filled life requires a quick response to sin. Acknowledge to God when you've offended Him. Accept His forgiveness. Be restored by confessing sin and then re-enter that Spirit-filled life of faith and continue growing in God's grace. The Spirit-filled life runs from sin and embraces holiness. Being filled with the Spirit is not getting more and more of the Spirit, but the Spirit getting more and more of me. It's an interesting quote here from F.B. Meyer. You know, we hear about this. Sometimes there's songs that talk about this, you know. But do not pray for more of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity and isn't in pieces. Every child of God has all of Him, but does He have all of us? The filling of the Spirit is the constant pursuit of the Christian life. It's living in a perpetual state of total surrender and submission to Him. It's a daily discipline that chooses to include Him rather than to neglect Him. It's a quote here. It says, Lord, I give up all my plans and purposes, all my own desires and hopes, and accept Thy will for my life. I give myself, my life, and my all utterly to Thee, to be Thine forever. Fill me and seal me, Thy Holy Spirit. Use me as Thou wilt. Send me where Thou wilt. Work out Thy whole life in my life at any cost, now and forever. And that's a quote from Betty Stamm, who her and her husband, John Stamm, they were missionaries to China, and they were martyred by communist Chinese soldiers in 1934. Point two, starts with a W in the Spirit. Walk. Walk. walk in the Spirit. Now, earlier we talked about the daily decision to be filled with the Spirit, and that filling produces a daily walk, a lifestyle that's led by the Spirit. Subpoint A, it's a developed, starts with an H, habit. A developed habit. Walking in the Spirit is the natural result of being filled with the Spirit. The word walk implies to march in step with, to fall into rank, to conform to the virtue of. In the Bible, the word walk often is used to referencing like our daily lifestyle. Galatians 5:16.
This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Galatians 5:25.
If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
And Romans 8:1.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Walking in the Spirit boils down to your everyday choices. Think of it this way. When you begin your day by asking the Holy Spirit to fill you, He will. Your choice to yield control is a good choice. It's the right start. But as the day unfolds, you're going to face a myriad of circumstances, emotions, thoughts, feelings, desires, decisions, possibilities. Walking in the Spirit is the developed discipline of listening to and obeying Him in the minutiae of your daily life. The Spirit's interested in what you think about, what you listen to, what you watch, what you read, what you say, how you act, who you spend time with. In every possible situation, you must choose between the will of the flesh and the will of the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is to listen to His prompting and obey it. On the other hand, walking in the flesh is to give in to your carnal impulses and desires. At subpoint B, a dangerous starts with an N. Neglect, yes. A developed habit and then a dangerous neglect. Most Christians ignore and neglect the Spirit and walk in the flesh. That's not to say that they don't love God, they don't trust His word and or believe in His power. It's to say they don't cultivate the discipline to listen to the Holy Spirit and obey Him moment by moment. God delights in the fact that you remember Him, that you include Him, call upon Him, and obey Him. Hear His heart in Jeremiah 2:32 as He longs to be a part of your every moment.
Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet her people have forgotten me days without number.
How many days have passed since you remembered to walk in the Spirit? Why not begin walking with Him today? In every choice you make, you either choose to hear and obey the Spirit or to choose a carnal life. You could downplay the little decisions of life and think, oh, it's not that big of a deal. But little decisions, when put together, make a life. A messed up life is just a whole bunch of bad decisions put together. A blessed life is a whole bunch of good decisions put together. The Holy Spirit wants to lead and direct you into every good decision, but the choice to walk in the Spirit is yours. We're challenged to develop a lifestyle of walking in the Spirit. There will be resistance from our flesh, but the Holy Spirit will be there to guide and help us. The Spirit-filled, Spirit-led life is the very best possible life that we could ever experience. Another quote from D.L. Moody here. It says, a Christian who's not living in the power of the Spirit is living below his privileges. It's an interesting statement. A Christian who's not living in the power of the Spirit is living below his privileges. Reader's Digest published an interesting story in March of 2005 about hypersonic sound, or HSS. The inventor was Elwood Woody Norris, has engineered sound waves to travel like a laser beam for about 150 yards. This allows sounds to be heard by a person in a particular place, but not by those immediately around him. It's kind of interesting. God's communication with us is very similar to the sound waves. We must be walking with the Holy Spirit in order to hear him. And when we're walking with the Spirit, his communications are clear. It's easy to perceive what he's saying. And if we move away from the pathway of his voice, out of the path of that sound, we become unaware of the fact that he's communicating with us at all. And we consequently miss the message. If you'll begin your day tomorrow by yielding to the Holy Spirit and asking him to fill you, and if you will intend to hear his prompting and obey, I promise that you'll hear him well throughout the day. He's a very good communicator. Walk in the Spirit today and every day. Be intentional about it. 1 Corinthians 2:15 begins with five very convicting words. But he that is spiritual. Let that person be you. Point number three starts with the P in the Spirit. Pray. The third command to pray in the Spirit should be the natural outflow of walking with the Spirit. If I'm filled with the Spirit and walking with him, it's quite natural to converse. And the more I walk with him, the more normal it becomes to talk with him throughout the day. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Do you ever take walks? How about walks with a friend? Author here says, I love to walk with my wife, unless it's at a shopping mall. I'm not much of a shopper. But put us in a beautiful park or on a pristine stretch of Southern California coastline at dusk, and I could walk for eternity with my wonderful wife. Same. I've noticed something about walks. They naturally lead to conversation. And as we walk, we talk. We grow closer, and we experience a stronger relationship together. Subpoint A spiritual starts with a W. Not walk. Not that either. I think Ephesians 5 or 6. It's a spiritual similar weapon, yes. A spiritual weapon. One of the greatest spiritual exercises you can do with the help of the Holy Spirit is to pray. It's more than a conversation. It's a building, growing, battling endeavor. It's a vital part of winning the spiritual warfare of the Christian life. Jude, verse 20.
But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost.
The book of Jude was written to Christians under fire. It's written to challenge Christians to earnestly contend for the faith of Christ, to fight the daily spiritual battle of faithfulness. Toward the end of the book, we read this command that we just read there, to build up ourselves in the faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Also, the Apostle Paul, writing of spiritual battle, pleaded with believers in Ephesus to pray in the Spirit. Ephesians 6, 18 to 19.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel.
And again, with those verses there, that's just after a lengthy passage about spiritual warfare in the verses prior. The Bible commands us to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. This ongoing conversation with the Holy Spirit plays a significant role in winning the moment-by-moment struggle between the flesh and the spirit. Here's another good quote here from E.M. Bounds. It says, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more and novel methods, but men whom the Holy Spirit can use. Men in prayer, mighty in prayer. The Holy Spirit does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but men. Men of prayer. And subpoint B is a continual, starts with a C. Similar. Another word similar to that? Conversation, yes. A continual conversation. We've already seen that the Holy Spirit is our partner in prayer, our intercessor. This command compels us once more to enter into ongoing and intimate communion with the Father by the Holy Spirit. It's more than a command. It's a compelling invitation that triggers the Spirit's ongoing work in your life. Because of what Christ did on the cross, God invites us into moment-by-moment prayer and personal intercession with Him. Hebrews 4:16.
Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need.
What an awesome thought. By the Spirit, God invites me to have an ongoing conversation and free-flowing intercession with Him all day, every day. The more you practice His presence in this way and come boldly before Him, the more victorious you'll be in the daily struggle. If you're thinking, I'd love to experience this ongoing life of walking in the Spirit and praying in the Spirit, but I forget. Don't despair. Remember, the Christian life is a journey of growth and learning. This life of prayer is a learned discipline. It's a developed habit. You could start right now. Ask the Holy Spirit to remind you. Ask Him to teach you. Cry out to God and claim His help in developing these spiritual habits. And over time, you will. The day will eventually come when you'll probably talk more to the Holy Spirit than you do to any other person in your life. He's with you every moment, and you'll remember and acknowledge Him constantly. So in conclusion, in summary, the Spirit-filled life is one of three basic but powerful daily disciplines. Being filled with the Spirit is the deliberate choice to yield all of myself to His control. Walking in the Spirit is the moment-by-moment choice to hear and to obey His prompting. And praying in the Spirit is entering into spiritual warfare in partnership with the Holy Spirit through ongoing prayer. It's the act of faithfully going before my Heavenly Father and to commune with Him personally and to seek His power and protection. Note, that's the Christian life in a nutshell. Yield to the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, and pray in the Spirit. Give God control every day, obey Him in the moments, and learn to speak to Him continually. That's the Spirit-filled life, and it's the only path to all the fullness of the Spirit that we've studied in these lessons. And then this last kind of illustration, I should have brought one, but I forgot. It's like, think about a glove, like a work glove or a gardening glove or whatever. By itself, just laying on the table, it's just a piece of cloth. It's limp and lifeless, powerless. But when that glove's picked up and a hand is placed into it, that glove comes to life. And it can accomplish much when it's filled with a hand. It can fulfill the purposes of the one who's wearing it. And like that empty glove, you and me, we're nothing but flesh, but spiritually dead, useless. But one day, God saved me and sent His Spirit into my life. and he picked up my life and placed his hand in it. And because of his hand in me, I can now accomplish all that he created me to accomplish. And the thing is, if I accomplish anything in my life, it's not me, because I'm just the glove. It's the power of God, the hand of God within me. You are the glove. The Holy Spirit is the hand. Make room for the Holy Spirit. Choose to yield to him. Walk in him and pray in him. That every finger of your life would be filled with his awesome presence every day. I think that's also similar. I think that what Michael Pink illustration, if I'm remembering correctly, something similar to that. But yeah, when by ourselves, we're limited. We're nothing really. But then when that hand goes into that glove, then it can do something beyond its capacity by itself. So the questions here, just to conclude everything. Number one is, what verse teaches that it is reasonable that you'd surrender complete control of your daily life to the Holy Spirit's power? Romans 12:1. What kind of life did Jesus come to give according to John 10:10? An abundant one. Number three, what three commands for Spirit-filled living did we look at in this lesson? Filled. Walk. Yep. And then pray. Yep. Interesting questions for the next couple ones. Number four, do you regularly begin your day by surrendering to the Holy Spirit and asking for his filling? If not, what can you use to remind you each morning to develop that? Number five, is there any sin in your life of which the Holy Spirit has convicted you that you're holding on to and thus preventing his filling in your life? Number six, as a general lifestyle, would you say that you are more often walk in the Spirit or neglect the Spirit? Are you committed to intentionally growing in that area? Number seven, has there ever been a time when you've benefited from the Spirit-filled intercession of another Christian? And are you faithfully praying for others? And then the last question, do you find yourself praying all throughout the day, keeping an ongoing conversation with the Spirit? Definitely those last four or five questions are ones for us to answer for ourselves. But any other thoughts from anybody tonight before we conclude? Anything stand out to you that you want to share? Or? Okay. Well, that concludes our study again that we've been looking at of living beyond our capacity, of understanding the Spirit-filled life. And so we'll be starting a new one, Lord willing, next week, and actually talk with the pastor about that one. Now, it's an interesting one. I won't spoil it, but it's a natural follow-up, really, to this. That actually will lead us right into family camp too. But let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for just your word. Thank you for you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your Son, for yourself. And that really, again, we're like the glove, that by ourselves we can't do anything. But when you come into our lives, we allow you to control us is when we can accomplish things for you. And I pray that we would be filled with the Spirit. We'd walk in the Spirit. We would pray in the Spirit. And again, as was mentioned, it's just easy just to forget about these things and just our daily grind of life and our busyness. But help us not to be too busy for you. And that we would, again, for the time that we've spent in studying this topic and looking at it, that we would, it would be a benefit to us spiritually, that we would desire to do that, that we would desire to grow, desire to be filled with you, to walk with you and to pray with you every day, because that's how we can grow. And then again, as we complete this study, thank you for what we've learned. And then as we go into our next one, Lord willing, next week, be with us in that as well. And I pray that you bring us back together safely on Wednesday and give us safety getting back to our homes this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.